Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's proclamation, the 50th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. There it is. There's the proof. If God was to teach at the seminary, he would teach homiletics. And when he instructs his servant, the servant, he gives him an instructed tongue. Now let me live with my delusion for the purposes of this sermon. For what we have here is a most interesting concept that our Lord God, the sovereign God, the creator of heaven and earth, would teach homiletics. And of course, he would do it perfectly. And so he would tell his servant that the first thing he has to do is discover the meaning of the text. Well, what text would that be? Well, for how many centuries did God speak through the prophets? For closing the plan of redemption that would be fulfilled in his son, the suffering servant. And so those are the texts that would have to be dealt with that we could finally come up with an exegetical idea. That exegetical idea always serves as the embryo for the sermon. And then it gives birth to a central thought, the focus. And what is the focus of the prophecies concerning the suffering servant? That he would be despised and rejected by men, that on him would be the transgressions of all, that through his wounds, his stripes, his suffering, his death, we would be healed. And there has to be an outline. And that outline is given in great detail, and Jesus, the suffering servant, knew it well, having been well instructed. He said to his followers on more than one occasion that he would be handed over to sinful men, that he would suffer many things, that he would be rejected by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, that he would be killed, and all of it in accordance with what is placed here in Isaiah chapter 50. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. And all done trusting that this indeed was the plan, the outline for salvation, the redemption of the fallen world. Because God also had to deal with the issues of some genuine maladies. We're told in the text that the sovereign Lord instructed the tongue of his servant that he would know the word to sustain the weary. A fallen world that was weary with the business of dying. The hard work of enduring what sin brought into the world. When Adam and Eve were told that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would certainly die, it wasn't an instantaneous effect. It was the beginning of a process that you and I have inherited, that original sin that is still at work and that still weighs us down, the burden of guilt and shame that indeed still makes us weary to this very day. That we discover the high cost of living in a fallen world is in fact dying. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat, and you will give birth only through pain. The maladies that come from the accuser, the one who will try everything that he can, Satan, the great adversary, who will constantly bring up to God the sins of his creation. The God who indeed hears the moaning and groaning of all creation as it waits for its final day of redemption. And these maladies, God answers in his suffering servant, student, Jesus the Christ. Because this is where God, as a homiletician, outbeats all of us. He is able to do things that you and I cannot do. He who said, "Let there be light," when he sets to preaching, you can imagine the dynamics are going to be a little bit different. For when he comes up with the embryo of the sermon, the exegetical idea, lo and behold, there is conception by the Holy Spirit, and a real embryo comes to being. When that embryo gives birth to a central thought in God's preaching, that central thought is born of the Virgin Mary. And when his plan for redemption begins to unfold, and the servant student indeed does suffer many things, is rejected and betrayed and denied, when he has to face all of the persecution and all of the injuries and all of the torture and abuse, when he offers his beard to be plucked and his back to be beaten, when he suffers under Pontius Pilate, it is God's word made flesh, his sermon that dwells among us, that he might accomplish what he wishes to. This Jesus becomes his means to sustain the weary. This Jesus becomes the means to grant forgiveness of sin. This same Jesus, the servant of God, becomes the means whereby death itself is rendered powerless. And as so many of us here are preachers or preparing to be preachers, let's learn this lesson from the master homiletician, our Lord God himself, he who would also instruct our tongues and give to us the word to sustain the weary. It is the one and the same Jesus Christ, crucified for the forgiveness of sins and resurrected that we might be made holy in the power of God, that the curses of sin would indeed be reversed by the payment from God. Now, when we preach that word, and sometimes we ourselves might be despised and rejected by men. We might be called silly. We might even be called stupid. But it is the word that sustains the weary despite the objections of a critical world. It is the word that indeed does forgive sin despite the fallenness of the world. And it is the word that brings life and life eternal despite the death of the world. To this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who brings to us the power of his grace and mercy and love in his Son, born, crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, be all glory, now and forever. Amen.